I'd like to thank Mr. Jingles inviting me to this workshop. So today, I'd like to talk about some possible observation of emergent photons and monopole excitations in pyrocular magnet. My name is Yuji Matsuda from Kyoto University. So this work has been mainly done by Yoshi Tokiwa. He recently moved to Augsburg University. So very high quality single crystals have been grown by Yasui, Meiji University, and Nakatsuji, University of Tokyo. And Udagawa, and Moon, and Kato are theorists. So in my talk, in the first half of my talk, I'd like to discuss itinerant quantum magnetic monopoles in ytterbium titanate. After that, I'll focus on emergent photons and electric monopoles in a quantum spin rigid state of praseodymium zirconate. Okay, maybe I need that introduction. But actually, in classical spin ice, the excitation, element excitation is a spin flip along the local EZ axis. And they are called magnetic monopoles. So the monopole pairs generate emergent B field. So these monopoles propagate diffusively in the crystal. So quantum fluctuation give rise to a different type of quasi particles, which I will be back later. Okay, today, I mainly discuss the measurement of thermal conductivity. So thermal conductivity is, if you apply the thermal current, temperature difference, this difference is thermal conductivity is proportional to, divided by J over delta T. So let me discuss why thermal conductivity is a suitable probe for the low energy excitation in the spin system. So I'd like to emphasize, thermal conductivity can sensitively probe low energy itinerant excitations at low temperatures. So this is a contrast to specific heat, because specific heat detect both itinerant and localized excitations. And actually, the specific heat, because specific heat often affected by localized impurities. And specific heat is often contaminated by Schottky contributions. I'd like to emphasize that thermal conductivity is free from these problems. Another important point is quantum spin rigid often transport heat very well. Let me show you an example. So here is a thermal conductivity of the, in the quantum spin rigid state of triangular organics and DMIT compound, along with the charge order difference. So this material has a very similar crystal structure of this one, but this material does not have magnetic excitations. Therefore, this difference comes from the spins. So this thermal conductivity is very large. Actually, this thermal conductivity is comparable to the conventional metal. This means quantum spin rigid often conduct heat very well. Together with that, first let me discuss itinerant magnetic monopole excitations in ytterbium titanate. So I need not introduce this material because many people talk these materials. So ytterbium ion has a pseudo spin 1/2, and this material shows that the pinch point appears, and that means the spin ice correlations. And this material has a quantum fluctuations coming from the xy term and off diagonal term. And here is a temperature dependent specific heat. We measured for the thermal conductivity. So the specific heat shows a very sharp jump at 0.2 Kelvin. And below 0.2 Kelvin, the ferromagnetic ordering occurs. And this pinch point disappears below 0.2 Kelvin, and also disappears above 4 Kelvin, which corresponds to 2JJ. Therefore, the spin rigid state with spin ice correlation is realized between this temperature range. Okay, so let me show you the, here is the temperature dependence of the thermal conductivity in zero field. Okay, at TC, we observe the jump of the thermal conductivity associated with the first order phase transition. So if you apply the strong magnetic field of 12 Tesla, thermal conductivity is strongly enhanced. So this enhancement is due to the suppression of spin phonon scattering by spin polarization. So let me discuss this in a little more detail. So here is a field dependence of the thermal conductivity. So for example, at 1.5 Kelvin, thermal conductivity first decrease and increase and show the saturation. So more or less, thermal conductivity shows a similar behavior at all temperatures, as shown here. So at low field, it shows a decrease and increase and show saturation. So if we plot the thermal conductivity as a function of H over T, in 2 and 3 regime, all curve collapse into the same curve. So this dashed line is a Boolean function. So this means the thermal conductivity is well scaled by H over T. So this means thermally excited paramagnetic spins are important in this 2 and 3 regime. So in regime 3, thermal conductivity shows a saturation. So this means this is because the spins are perfectly polarized, and gap is formed. Therefore, the spin photon scattering is absent, and the spin does not carry the heat, and conduction is conduction become purely photonic. In regime 2, in these regions, the Zeeman splitting is comparable to KBT. So in these regions, phonons are scattered by thermally excited spins. So these regions are explained by the phonon conductivity. The important region is here. In these regions, the thermal conductivity suppressed by magnetic field. So spin phonon scattering suppressed with H. So this initial reduction cannot be explained by phonon contributions. So this initial reduction occurs only in the spin liquid regime. It disappears in the ferromagnetic regime and at high temperature. Therefore, this reduction at low field most likely to be due to the magnetic excitations, likely to be a magnetic monopole excitation. Okay, the thermal conductivity at low field is given by these equations. So this alpha measures the separation of magnetic monopoles. So we plot alpha as a function of temperature, so and alpha suddenly disappears at TC, and alpha shows a peak around 0.4 Kelvin, 0.5 Kelvin here. So this maximum at 0.5 Kelvin may be due to the magnetic, magnetic monopole excitation energy shown here. So we estimate the mean free path of magnetic monopole from thermal conductivity, and we obtain the mean free path is nearly 200 times distance of the neighboring tetrahedra. This means the magnetic monopole has a very long mean free path. Okay. Next, let me then I move on to the photons, emergent photon and electric monopole in the quantum sphere liquid state of plasma zirconium. So this is a sample we measured. Actually, according to Satoru Nakatsuji, our crystal shows a very sharp NQR signal, indicating a very high quality. So I studied the photon by these famous papers by Valens and Nick Shannon and Professor Gingras paper. Okay, so as discussed by Yonbak Kim in the first day, this is a minimum Hamiltonian, and in addition, Ising time, the real material in this material has a x y time. The lowest order of quantum fluctuation is a third perturbation of J plus minus given by these equations, and this represents a ring exchange of the spin on the octahedra. So this generates a quantum fluctuation between here and here, and a tunneling process between here and here. This quantum fluctuation lifts the degeneracy of classical spin ice, giving rise to the quantum spin liquid state. So the effective spin dynamics in this Hamiltonian can be mapped onto the electromagnetism. Actually, Ising time SZ corresponds to E, and XY time S plus minus corresponds to vector potential A. Actually, this was discussed by Yonbak Kim in the first day. So E and A are canonically conjugate. And E and A rise on the bond, which connects the center of tetrahedra. And curl A gives rise to the emergent B. But actually, this definition of B and E depends on the literature. So in this case, we use B, but sometimes people use E. So because of these fluctuations, new particle appears in the quantum spin-negative state. Let me discuss in more detail. So magnetic monopole. Okay, let me call this M particle. So M particle have the dispersions. And in addition to M particle, the electric monopole, E particle, and photon, let me call it mu particle, emerges from the ground state. And E particle, okay, M particle is the spin flip along the local Z axis, and E particle is the spin excitations perpendicular to local Z axis. This operator can be converted to the E. Then the expansion of the E particle is something like that. In this case, the phase of the perpendicular spin component changes pi on the octahedral. And electric field means there's an emergence of the charged particle here and here. In the particular system, is like this, and the particle pair and here. So this is a topological defect. The photon is new particle is a photon, and which has a gapless linear excitations. This particle mediates dynamical interaction between E and M particle. Actually, for the experimentalist, it's very difficult to have an imaging of the photon. Okay. But according to theorists, in the real world, if the charged particle is accelerated, photon is emitted. But in the particular system, if the E particle is accelerated, photon is excited. But the difference is these and these are bosons. And in the real world, this is a monopole, and this is electrons. They are fermions. Okay, with that, let me discuss Prasselism ziriconet. So Prasselism ziriconet, samples are no magnetic ordering down to 50 millikelvin. And a pinch point appears, below 0.6 kelvin, indicating spin-earth correlations. And more than 90% of the neutron scattering intensity is inelastic. This indicates strong quantum fluctuations. Well, here's a specific heat result by Kimura et al. And here's the result of the special heat of the Prasselism ziriconet. So according to Kato and Onoda, this broad peak is attributed to the magnetic monopole, M particles. And estimated J and J perpendicular is 7 Kelvin and 0.4 JZZ. Problem of this specific heat is below 0.2 Kelvin. Special heat contains large nuclear contributions. Therefore, it is very difficult to detect E and new particle by special heat. This is why we measure the thermal conductivity. So here's the thermal conductivity of the crystal we measured. Okay, there are three temperature regimes, 1, 2, and 3. In high temperature regime, in 3, the thermal conductivity decreases rapidly. And in regime 2, thermal conductivity decreases more gently. And what is interesting is in regime 1, thermal conductivity shows a steep increase and shows a peak and then decrease. And in each regime, thermal conductivity shows a characteristic field dependence. In regime 3, the thermal conductivity decreases and shows increase. And in regime 2, thermal conductivity is nearly field independent and increase. And regime 1, thermal conductivity shows a broad peak and then increase and shows saturation. So as I mentioned, this saturation comes from the full polarization of the spins. So this thermal conductivity comes from the Pauli phonon. So as I mentioned before, this increase comes from the spin phonon scattering. Okay, again, we normalize the thermal field dependence or thermal conductivity as an inflection point here. As you see, the whole curve collapses into the same curve at high field, like this. Here we put the log scale. So that this envelope, dashed line, come from the phonon. So what is interesting is the low temperature regime. So this obviously deviates from field dependence. So this attributes to the spin contributions. So as you see, spin contribution dominate in zero field. So the, all of the, this temperature dependence are dominated by spins in zero field. So first, let me discuss this 2 and 3 regime. So in one regime, the thermal contributions are 1 over t square dependence. So we subtract this 1 over t square dependence to discuss the temperature dependence of 2 and 3. So here, we plot, we show the Arrhenius plot in 2 and 3 regime. 2 and 3 regime is here and here. So the kappa over t is plotted as a function of 1 over t. So as you, obviously, the, we observe the activation type behavior here and here. So that if you use the two gaps, the thermal conductivity is nearly perfectly fitted. So this means two different types of gap excitations appears in 2 and 3 regime. So we believe this excitation comes from the M particle and E particle, magnetic monopole and electric monopole. Because of the following reasons, the excitation energy here is nearly 6 Kelvin. It's comparable to the excitation energy of the magnetic monopole estimated by specific heat. And excitation energy of electric monopole E particle is estimated to be roughly 0.6 Kelvin. This value is very close to the, this exponential activation energy estimated from this curve. So based on this result, we conclude that this initial field dependence or thermal conductivity come, in three regimes, sorry, represents thermal conductivity from the M particle or magnetic monopoles, and this regime, the E particle, the electric monopole here. Then the interesting question is, what is the origin of this peak at a very low temperature, below 200 millikelvin? Actually, I have measured many, I have measured thermal conductivity of many materials. I have never seen such an enhancement of the thermal conductivity, such a low temperature. It's, therefore, this is quite unusual. So first of all, I'd like to emphasize this definitely, this enhancement cannot be attributed to the phonon because of the following reasons. First, this is a phonon conductivity in estimated by in strong magnetic field. As you see, the kappa over t exceeds this phonon conductivity here. A second point is thermal conductivity cannot have double peak structure. So as you see, the thermal conductivity of the phonon, phonon conductivity cannot have show double peak structure. But the peak structure already appears at high temperature, so phonon conductivity cannot have a peak at such a low temperatures. And we measure several crystals, and a couple at high temperature regime, the thermal conductivity does not depend on the sample, but at low temperature, it strongly depends on the sample quality. So the for example, this and this are different crystal here. The sample size is quite similar. In this regime, the phonon conductivity is limited by sample size. So therefore, such a large difference cannot be explained by phonon. So definitely, this peak does not come from phonon. And this peak also cannot come from the, some kind of phenomena of nuclear, because nuclear contribution always are localized. Thermal conductivity cannot pick up such a the contribution from nuclear. So I believe this sharp peak comes from photon because of the following reasons. Okay, this is a quite simple explanation of the temporal dependence of the thermal conductivity divided by T in case of a photon. Actually, at high temperature, the number of the photon increase as a proportional to T. In this case, because of the photon-photon interactions, the mean free path is limited by, is proportional to 1 over T. Then kappa over T should be proportional to 1 over T squared. So this is actually we observed the thermal conductivity. And with decreased temperature, the number of photons a photon decrease. That is why the peak appears here. This is consistent with our explanation. Therefore, I believe that this striking enhancement and the peak structure arise from the photon excitation. Actually, this photon excitation, as I mentioned, is extremely sensitive to sample qualities. This again is consistent with the photon. So we conclude. So this anomalous enhancement comes from the photon excitation. Okay, now let me summarize my talk. We try to detect the emergent photon and the monopole excitation in a quantum spin rigid state with spin ice correlation by thermal conductivity. In interleaving titanite, we observe the iterant magnetic excitations, which are attributed to the iterant magnetic monopole excitations, maybe M particle. In platinum zirconite, in addition to magnetic monopoles and particles, we observe the emergent photons, new particle, and electric monopoles, E particle. So the importance of the M and E particle is a quasi particle fractionalization is important in particular. And emergent observation of emergent new and E particle indicates the gauge fluctuation. Gauge fluctuation plays an important role in particular system. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah.
In order to get conduction via the magnetic excitation.
Yeah.
But that should die off as you go to the t equals zero limit. So at some point in the t equals zero limit, you can only conduct heat via phonons.
No, that's not true. If you measure the metal.
What's that?
If you measure the thermal conductivity of the metal, you can inject the thermal current to the electron directly. It's in contact.
Yeah, but in the t equals zero limit, you get a die off in the electronic contribution to the thermal conductivity, and you're only getting the phonons that are transmitted.
No. Even if t equals zero, we can inject by the electrons or spins directly. Because the contact is made by metal.
I think you still. Because the material is insulating, right? That's not going to really couple directly to the magnetic excitations. So I'm just wondering if you consider this electron phonon.
This
is a known phenomenon.
For electron
phonon decoupling.
Okay.
But it's definitely going to happen for coupling between magnetic excitations of phonons. So I'm wondering if that could explain this peak, this low temperature peak, in the praseodymium zirconate where. It could be you're just losing coupling to your magnetic excitations at low temperature at your.
For example, this is a typical example of the thermal conductivity of the organic compound.
Sure.
We observe the finite coupling of T, even T equals zero. That means that spins still contact, we can inject the spin or the thermal current to inject the spins.
Some suitably low temperatures has to happen that they use that kind of.
Yeah, but you are discussing that it's millikelvin or the 1 millikelvin. I don't know.
It's important to know what that temperature is. I think, right? Because this is this kind of thing has been observed in these sorts of temperature ranges before.
Yeah, but it's the same as the helium.
What's that?
It's the same as the helium, right? But because the thermal conduction does not transport the helium. But look this one the. Okay, even in that case, this enhancement can't be explained by the phonon.
That seems really anomalous. So it's the peak, though, and I'm just wondering.
Okay, but it's a 70 millikelvin. Usually, the separation of the spin and the phonon maybe occurs at much lower temperature in my period. But we cannot estimate it.
But is there any measure or estimate of that interaction?
Bruce and then Tom? So the measurements are on single crystals,
yes.
Right? So you could have the heat along different high symmetry directions.
Yes.
Yeah, and did you, is it isotropic? Did you look at other directions?
Or
did
okay, yeah, 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 we made two directions. So, we apply the current, summer current 111 direction and 1 minus 10 directions. But it's not isotropic. But the phonon should be isotropic because cubic structure. Mm-hmm.
Which way is the sample cut?
Which way is, sorry?
Which way is the sample cut?
Sample cut are the sample current directions, yeah. Yeah, because we always...
Sample shape.
Yeah, yeah, sample shape, yeah. Because we are sample quantity measured in the rectangular sample.
What's the vertical direction?
Yeah, the sample current is, okay. Always sample current is like this. Yeah. So, in that case, we always apply these directions. Sample cutted. So your question is, which direction cut?
Is there a relationship between the anisotropy and the terminal connectivity in the ratio of boundary stacking limits? Or it's on,
yeah.
The photon should be isotropic?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
But your results are not isotropic, right?
Yeah, so the photon, yeah, you're saying that. Yeah, sorry, phonon and photon, right? Yeah.
Well, it's a cubic material, so I think phonon should have to be isotropic too.
Yeah, phonon should be isotropic because structure is cubic.
Well, shouldn't the photon be isotropic too?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to say, right?
Yeah, but, yeah. I think the photon should be isotropic. But yeah, the strong dependent sample quality.
You had a curve, so you just showed where you had
Yeah,
zero field. Yeah, so they're different, right?
Yeah, different. But that's what I mentioned. This is strongly sample dependent.
So those are two different samples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But how temperature? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So for the turbine-type net, was there a particular reason you picked the field along 111?
Yes.
You looked at other directions.
We measured only one direction. So, yeah.
Could you estimate the bandwidth of the photons from the position of the peak? Could you estimate the bandwidth of the photons from the position of the peak?
This one. The boundary?
Sorry. The bandwidth.
Bandwidth? Yeah. Okay, that's the question. The bandwidth maybe order of 100 millikelvin or 200 millikelvin. Yeah, because otherwise, yeah, this is one. So, this the bandwidth is something like here, like this. Because below the bandwidth, some conductivity shows an increase. Then the bandwidth should be larger than 770 millikelvin. Yeah, if you simply apply this expansion. Yeah.
Nick, and then Rob?
Sure. Okay. I was going to ask, how big would be your boundary limited phonon conductivity? Is it substantially above a lot of this data?
Very difficult to say the limit of the phonon. But usually the below 0.2 Kelvin, usually the mean free path of the phonon is limited by the boundary.
That's right. So yeah. I'm asking how far below that limit are we talking here? Because then you know that you've got contributions to the phonon conductivity from scattering, as well as possible other channels to...
It's not T cube.
So where, if you had to, you know, say, if I didn't have any magnetic excitation, so it's had boundary limited phonon scattering for this material, where would that curve lie? It would be T cubed, but where would it seems to me it would be substantially above that green curve.
Yeah, but actually the phonon does not always show that T cube behavior. Sometimes the T square are, it's between always the T cube and T square.
Yeah, but that sets the absolute maximum for what the thermal conductivity would be.
Yeah.
And then once you're below that, then you have a possibility that either you're messing with your phonon scattering, uh-huh. or you have an additional conductivity channel.
But
it's very difficult to separate
yeah.
the two.
Yeah, very difficult to separate. That's all. But that's why we have done this analysis.
But are you not implying with your green curve here that you eliminated all sorts of scattering?
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing left. And
yeah, that's
green
right.
Limit?
Yeah, green, but saturation occurs purely phononic. Yeah.
But that's a working hypothesis, right? That there was that the only source of scattering were magnetic fluctuations, and you've quenched them with the field.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right, but then
but that's an assumption.
But as soon as you come below that, then you know, you're not saying that that the only possibility is now some if the conductivity increases, the only possibility is a new channel. For conductivity,
one,
as
yeah.
opposed to a change in the scattering rate of the phonon.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That sounds right. Nick?
So I was just wondering, your picture for this T squared was T squared at low temperature coming from the T cubed in heat capacity divided by T, right?
Yeah, this one.
So that has a prefactor of 1 upon the speed of light.
This is a very rough experiment.
So have you tried, how well do you know the constant of proportionality? Can you get a number for the speed of light out of this?
I do not think so.
I'm just curious whether what that comes out.
I just thought it's just proportional quantity. Yeah. No quantitative expansion.
Well, isn't it like J per cube over J z squared divided by that spacing?
Give or take some renormalizations, but you can just measure it, right? If you know what the if you're happy that you want to take the heat capacity, so your thermal permeability is proportional to your heat capacity, then you can read it off.
Yeah, but we need a theory that how the photon carries the heat. Yeah, can calculate the thermal conductivity by assuming the photon. Then we can compare.
You say the units.
You also need to know coefficient.
Yeah, that's what I was really on.
Yeah, mean green part.
Well, you can do it from the lower T squared rather than the 1 upon T squared, but you still need to know what the units of heat per excitation is.
So I don't think this is a. This is an uninformed, but a lot of the systems that have nuclear ordering, praseodymium has a large nuclear moment, right?
Yeah.
Are praseodymium based?
Yeah, but this does not show the ordering, right? Praseodymium does not show the ordering.
No, but in other systems with praseodymium praseodymium does have a large nuclear moment.
Yeah.
Right, and so it's often used as a system that shows. Praseodymium-based magnets, not necessarily this one, are often used as systems that. I was just wondering, is it possible that the very low temperature heat capacity and thermal conductivity could be influenced by the nuclear moments and so on?
Okay, it is influenced, especially too, definitely influenced by the ordering of the nuclear ordering. Mm-hmm. But such a nuclear ordering cannot carry the heat so well.
But if it was nuclear ordering, you'd have nuclear spin waves.
Yeah, but spin waves, but such a contribution very small compared to the electrons. Because even you're saying the magnon can carry the heat, but the nuclear spin ordering occurs, that means the nuclear magnon carries the heat. But such a contribution is extremely small because gamma is very small. It's negligibly small. I have never seen the thermal conductivity coming from the nuclear ordering.
Well, it would be small scale done by the nuclear magnons. Nuclear magnon spin wave velocity.
Yeah.
But then it will also that scale will be of the order of that.
J is very small. That spin nuclear spin ordering cannot carry the heat. The coupling of the nuclear spin with J is only 1,000 times smaller than the conventional electrons. Then the spin wave of the nuclear.
The only reason I mentioned it is that I just pulled up one of the systems that I was familiar with, and nuclear ordering, at least one praseodymium system, is around 30 millik. So it's in the ballpark.
Metallic praseodymium would not order if it was not for the amplified interaction. Elemental praseodymium.
Right.
But anyway, there is no evidence of the nuclear ordering of this system by NQR or something.
If we have like a two-level system,
it's
spin balance or something, then in principle you could easily get T squared. T scale incapacity.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to distinguish this.
Yeah.
Okay, Colin?
He does have a new Shotkin armor, which means that there's some sort of polarization of the nucleon that is present in this temperature range. But I don't think we know what kind of, it may not be a kind of a symmetry breaking based on the nuclear spin interactions, but rather a kind of what's called it's driven by some electronic freezing, electronic spin freezing, then pipeline transfer to the nucleon.
Did you want to comment?
Yeah, but there are such a. Maybe this is greater.
There is a peak and it has to be explained, I guess.
Yeah, but hypercoupling always are present in the nuclear spin and the electron spin. But as far as it's not the Dirichlet orders, it cannot carry the heat. It's excited local. It cannot iterant excitation. Then the thermal conductivity should be relatively small in such excitation. That's my opinion.
I was thinking about the comment from Jeff in front of you here that maybe there could be such a decoupling that took place as a result of the coupling through this nucleus.
Okay.
The actual peak might be somewhat related to that.
Yeah. But in some crystals, anyway, it increases, you know, more than one order of magnitude sometimes. That it can't be explained the conventional excitation.
I just want to follow Colin's comment. Holding platinate in Oak Ridge group, I think that Gabriel Wallace, he measured nuclear spin excitations. Yeah. In this system, it's completely with no spin ice. There's no wobbling from electronic spin sector, but there is a clear nuclear spin excitations due to this hyperfine tacking. This is really mysterious. So electric spin, which is not water, is water, but you don't have really clear nuclear spin excitation? It's clear excitation.
Okay.
That one, I think I know what that is. I mean, that is the hyperfine enhanced polarization of the nuclei. So if whenever you have a Schottky anomaly in the specific heat from nuclear spins, you should have that kind of excitation.
Yeah, but again, in this case, the thermal conductivity is not influenced such excitation because it's local excitation. Hysteresis heat may be influenced by such excitation, but thermal conductivity is not influenced by such excitation.
Tom,
it depends on the magnetic field speak.
Magnetic field of the here, this one. Oh, as I showed there. Yeah. Okay. In these regions, the magnetic field first enhance, then decrease. But there is no quantitative explanation for this behavior. But if you apply some magnetic field, it's just saturation. It's some full polarization occurs of the spin.
Do you understand why the saturated values are different
with
the nuclear direction?
This one?
Yeah, is that meaningful?
Different temperatures.
Different temperature, too.
Okay, I think.